church on this beautiful Sunday morning. There are several announcements that we need to go over today. The first is that in your bulletin, you will see that there is a section from our Cranberry Nursery School. They're doing a fundraiser. So please take a look at your bulletin to read over the fundraiser that they are currently running. David, I understand that you have an announcement.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There are many passages in Scripture that relate to stewardship and its importance. One of my favorite passages is Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10, which says, "Give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to." Those are pretty powerful words. And as we start our 2023 Stewardship Pledge Drive, I hope that you will keep those close to your heart. We sent the pledge packages out. They'll actually go out tomorrow. We put them in the mail yesterday. Actually, Tuesday, since tomorrow's a holiday. We're asking that you have them back in early December. We've also put a couple of the pledge cards out in the narthex. If you have any questions, you need to talk to me, please do so. Good luck. We hope that we have a successful pledge drive. And thank you.
After worship today, there will be a worship and music committee meeting. In addition, if you see in your bulletin, they are seeking nominations from the congregation for the various positions within the church. Please pray and take an opportunity to discuss with your fellow congregation members in regards to who you would like to present as a potential candidate for the different offices. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes.
I wanted to tell you, the last 2 years I bought those boxes of cards, and they're beautiful. I mean, they're only like, I'll tell you, over a card, but they are absolutely beautiful.
We have a testimony from Nora about the CNS fundraiser. She said that they are inexpensive cards to purchase and worth every penny. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Tim.
Signs in the back for the craft fair coming up, a little over a month away. So please take a couple and post them where you think they'll be seen.
For those of you online, there are the craft fair signs that you are more than welcome to pick up and place in your yard. Any other announcements at this time? Seeing no additional announcements, if we could take a moment for a silent prayer, and then we will begin our service. Our first call to worship is "God Will Make a Way," which is in the insert in your bulletin.
Thank you.
day of rest, rest from our labors.
A drink of the cool water for our souls, as we live in this dry and thirsty land.
We come into your presence, Father, seeking rest and refreshment and renewal in you.
Gather us up and pour your Holy Spirit upon us, so we may worship you.
God's people and God's joy, let us worship our Lord. Our introit hymn is in the red hymnal, number 504. We have a story to tell to the nations.
Forgive us all our wrongs. Transform us by your Spirit. Christ paid for all of our sins, every last one of them. He died and rose again from the dead to free us from all the death that we deserve. What we have just done by confessing a small part of our sin is express our belief that Jesus did what he did for us. Our debt has been paid and Jesus' goodness has been given to us. Hear and believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. To forgive each other. And that is how we take God's peace and pass it on to others. And so I encourage you to do that, to take God's peace and pass it on to your brothers and sisters in Christ who are here today and beyond here out into the world. Jesus is proclaimed, there are going to be people who want to follow him, want to ignore him, want to arrest him. You know, but we're called to proclaim, follow his example. Let us pray. Lord, continue to open up our hearts so that we might hear, believe, and act on your word to us. Teach us to trust you and to care for others as you care for us. For the cause of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read to you today from the James's letter to the church, from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. I'll be reading from the NIV version, but it's on page 1054 of your pew Bibles. James was the brother of Jesus, and he was one of those who rejected Jesus prior to Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared to him, and he believed. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of the Lord. When you are thirsty, isn't it wonderful to reach out and fill a glass full of clean water and drink it? Most of us are blessed with a safe and abundant source of water. All we need to do is turn on the tap, and we can have all we want. But not everyone. 25% of the people in the world don't have access to safe water. And it happens in the United States, too. You know, just ask Hoosick Falls, New York, and Flint, Michigan. Think of the communities near and far where the water isn't safe to drink. But be careful. You might end up wanting to help. Jesus spoke of another kind of water that we need, living water. The living water that would flow out from all within all of those who believe in him. A spring blesses everything around it, but not because the water springs up and sits there, but because the water flows away from the spring, becoming water that can be used to quench the thirst of people and animals and plants. On the last and most joyous day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus cried out in a loud voice in the temple, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." Another time, Jesus defied convention and spoke to a woman who was on the outs with her community. He told her that if she drank the living water that he gave her, that she would never thirst and that a stream of living water would flow from within her. So what did she do? She believed and went back to her village and told all of them about Jesus, and many of that people of the people from that town believed. Living water draws people to Jesus, and it won't run out if we keep sharing it. I grew up in a church that on a good Sunday had 20 people in attendance. The members of that church always wanted to have more people come to the church, but it never seemed to happen. Yet it was a church that was full of faithful disciples. Why didn't it grow in numbers? I really don't know. But what I do know is that numbers are not really an accurate measure of faithfulness. Amen. Obedience is. Jesus said, love one another, and so they did. And I was one of those that they loved. And that made all the difference for me. But that church is also a warning to me, because I think they forgot to reach out to those on the outside and love them. And so eventually people didn't come anymore. And today the building is a Hindu temple. This church is in some ways, some very good ways, like the church I grew up in. But it has to be different too if we're going to survive. I know that you want to have more people here, that you want your ministry to expand, and you should. But the question is, are you willing enough to be uncomfortable enough to change? We need to change somehow, because people aren't coming in ways that can sustain our ministry here. Yet faithfulness isn't always shown by numbers, but it is always shown by discipleship, by service, by love. How important is it to you to be a living, growing, thriving disciple of Jesus? How can we want to grow in our living discipleship? If we really want to grow, and I expect we will, I think the key is receiving the living water from Jesus that he gives to us if we ask him, and then finding ways to share that living water of Jesus with others. People are thirsty for spiritual truth. Sometimes they don't think that they need Jesus, but just like physical thirst, our perceptions of are not good measures of what we need. I visited many people in the hospital who were there because they were dehydrated, but who would swear that they had been drinking enough water, but they hadn't. I think the key to a growing discipleship with the family of God here in this place is to reach out and meet people where they are and invite them in. They might not come, but invite them anyway. Jesus told us to go out into all the world and make disciples, just like he did. And how did he do that? He went and cared for people as he found them, or as they came to him for the needs that they recognized. He healed them, he fed them, he accepted them, and he loved them, even when no one else did. Jesus didn't sit in the synagogue and wait for people to come to him. He went from the synagogue to the lake, the countryside, and the city, because that's where the people were who needed him. And when Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," he meant for us to go into all the world, Cranberry and beyond, to make disciples, to multiply the opportunities for Christ's living water to affect the world. sending doesn't leave a lot of room for us to wait for people to come to us. We're to go to them. Going out to the world, meeting people where they are. And by that, I don't just mean their physical location, but in their emotional needs, in their physical needs, in their perceived spiritual needs. Let people know that you care for them. Going out of your way to care for them, whether by giving them a loaf of bread or listening to them. Let them listen to you. When they know deep down that you care, knowing because you have listened to them and fed them however they needed to be fed, then, and probably only then, will they be willing to listen to you about your Jesus. I want to tell you about a church that decided to be faithful to God by caring for the people around them, helping in ways those people knew that they needed help. They obeyed, and people saw Jesus caring for them and wanted to be a part of that. People pushed in to get past the church members, and because the church members pushed out into the community. For about 20 years now, there's been a daily traffic jam in front of Ecclesia Central Assemblies of God Church in San Cristobal, Dominican Republic. All day long and into the evening, people by the hundreds gathered around the church building. Attendance at Sunday worship blossomed, and that church is now seen as the Water Church, a center of care and hope in the community. How did that church become a place where everyone knew that they were loved and loved it? It was just a simple thing. Clean, fresh water delivered in the name of Jesus Christ, the living water. The people of the Dominican Republic share in the suffering that comes from contaminated drinking water. Parasites in dirty water promote chronic dysentery and deadly cholera and are the leading cause of deaths of children in the Dominican Republic. People can buy bottled water in stores, but it's too expensive for the poor, and so people keep on dying. But then Ecclesia Church decided to reach out to their community and meet some needs. With the help of Healing Waters Ministry, they installed a water system that could deliver 2,000 gallons of water a day, of pure water a day, and sold it for 20% of what the market cost for that water would be. The crowds flocked to the church. Some just wanted the water, but along with the water, they learned about Jesus. One person said, "Suddenly we were seen as a church that wanted to help, not withdraw and judge." One pastor said, "It's much easier for us to go into the community and invite people to church because people say, 'Oh yes, you're the church with the water.' The rich can always afford the clean water they need. They can usually afford anything they need. But that confidence often leads them to forget their real need is Jesus. It is the poor who needed inexpensive water to drink. They are the helpless and hopeless, the people the Bible groups together under the heading of orphans and widows. God has always cared for the helpless, the sick, the lost. Witness the fact that Jesus came to save us. God calls our church today to have that same attitude of caring. Jesus said, 'Go, and whoever believes in me,' as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within them. God's Spirit is at work in us who believe in Jesus, who trust him. We can never out-give God because there's always more living water to share. Because it doesn't come from our strength or our resources, but from Jesus. Do you trust him? Do you think that God can really provide you with living water to the very, and use you to provide that to the very thirsty around you? It's a scary thing to say, I'll go where you want me to go and then follow Jesus. Scary, but wonderful. When we determine to be living disciples of Jesus Christ and rely on God's strength to do God's will, then we can accomplish great things for God. The history of the church is proof of that. Whenever the church has been inward focused, caring only for itself, it's gone downhill. But when the church has reached out to bless other people and to care for them in ways that they understand, then the church has prospered. We want our church to prosper. God blesses water churches because those churches are blessing God and people. Water churches don't have to serve even a drop of water, as long as they are serving people who are in need. You see, if you want someone to listen to you, you have to listen to them. If you want to help someone by meeting a need they don't have, and people often don't know that they need Jesus, you have to first meet a need that they know very well. Tell me some of the ways that Plains Presbyterian Church is reaching out to people where they are, meeting the needs that they know of so that you can build a relationship of trust and credibility with them so that you can tell them about Jesus, the living water that they need. What are some of the ways that the church does that? Speak out. Because you're only going to have not too long for this part. And I want you to brag a bit.
PBS.
Okay, and Vacation Bible School.
Evans City Food Bank.
Evans City Food Bank, when people are hungry.
Masico.
Reaching out to people far across the world. Is there more? Do you listen to your own needs to grow in your discipleship of Jesus? That's something the church helps us all to do. Do you make the time to care for yourself as a disciple in fellowship with other Christians, in prayer, in studying the scripture, in learning about your faith? That is the best way to unplug the pipes and clean the spring so that Jesus' living water can pour out through you. Every time you share the living water that Jesus has given you, you give people a reason to listen to you about Jesus. And there's always more water to pour out when we rely on Jesus. James writes, "Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and blameless as this is to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Orphans and widows were the people of that time that no one cared about. People who were the failed present or the past discarded, as so many seem to be today. But God calls us to care and to share the living water of Jesus, especially with them. What kind of church do you want Plains Presbyterian Church to be? Is our church just this important and historic building, or is it you, faithful disciples who gather for worship, encouragement, and service, wherever you gather? I hope your dream will be to grow as a water church, finding out the needs of the people around you as they see them, and then designing ways to meet those needs in the name of Jesus. Be bold in your dreams. Don't hold so tightly to the past that you can't grasp the future that God is handing you. I don't know if crowds of people will flock to join you, but at the very least, you will be found by Jesus as he comes among you, blessing you, equipping you for service and love, and with him, we have all we really need, for without him we have nothing. You are Christ's church in this place. Thanks be to God. Live that out and dream big, for our God is an awesome God. There are thirsty people here and out there, and Jesus is the living water who never runs dry. Our job is to bring them together. Amen. In your bulletins, you'll find the affirmation of faith. Let us rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You are a God who blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Help us to always receive your blessings so that they might equip us and give us the courage to pass them on to others. Use these offerings now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next hymn is In the Garden. I heard someone said, "Oh, In the Garden," earlier, because it's not in our blue book, nor is it in our red hymn book. It's not in the blue hymn book particularly, because people said, "Oh, that is just a hymn about Jesus and me, and you know, it's all focused on us." And I used to think that, but then I looked at the third verse. Sometimes what you know keeps you from seeing things. You know, the first two verses are about being with Jesus. The third verse is, "I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling." It's getting dark out there. I'd stay here, but he, Jesus, bids me go. Through the voice of woe, outside in the darkness, his voice to me is calling. Jesus said, if you give one of the least of these a cup of cool water in my name, you're giving it to me. This song is about that there's a need out there, and that Jesus is calling us to go out and fill that need, to meet the people where they're crying in their cries of woe. Let's sing to the Lord together. Opportunity of sharing our stories of how we've seen God at work this week. I know already some of you have shared your stories with us, and I'd encourage you to, with me, and I'd encourage you to share them with us all. Yes,
Dave. So this past Tuesday, Julie was traveling on business. So I was by myself. I had a couple of appointments after I finished working, and I decided that I'm going to treat myself and get dinner out. So I had put in an order on my device from Chipotle, and got there right at the time I was supposed to pick it up, and I walked into the shop and went to the rack, and nope, that's not my name. And then it occurred to me that there were about 2 dozen people standing there. And I was like, uh-oh. And it turned out that the store was unfortunately horribly understaffed, and they were way behind on their orders. So we stood there and stood there and stood there, and they slowly but surely got the orders out. And by the time they called my name, another 25 minutes had passed. And I was irritated, and I got back in the car and started heading for home. Now, if you remember, Tuesday was a gloomy, cloudy, typical Pittsburgh day. But I noticed that the sun had sunk low enough as it was setting that it was shining brightly. And I saw something I've never seen before. The rays of the sun were actually shining on the deck of clouds. And I was like, wow, that's really, really cool. And it occurred to me that if I hadn't been stuck at Chipotle for an extra 25 minutes, I'd have never seen it.
Right. That's a great story.
It's worth repeating online, isn't it?
Okay, I guess you didn't hear it. That was a hint that I should repeat the story. Steve was saying, went out last Tuesday to Chipotle, ordered ahead of time so he could pick it up, and it wasn't ready. And many other people were waiting there too. And so he had to wait 20, 25 minutes, and he finally got his food and was going home grumbling. And as he drove, he saw the sunset and the sun shining up through from the horizon up to the underside of the clouds that were there and turning them beautiful. And he says, gee, if I had everything my way, I would have been home and would never have seen this. So it's a beautiful thing to see because I waited or was forced to wait. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Let's move on. I'm going to ask a question. Anybody deliver any bread to anybody else last week? I see some head shakings. Last week, I made bread for everyone who came to take a loaf and give to someone else or to eat it themselves. And a number of people have told me that they delivered the bread off to others and it was much appreciated. That's, you know, I think everybody has need for homemade bread. So that was meeting their needs. So thank you. Okay, any joys and concerns you would care for us to give thanks for or pray about? Yes, Kathy.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the family of Sharon Zulik, who passed away last weekend. Mid-50s, young, leaves behind a husband, three children. Very sad.
Yeah. Kathy asks us to pray for Sharon Zulik, who's in her mid-50s. She died this past week. Pray for her family. Her husband and her three children, and she needs our prayers and God's care.
Michael.
Yes.
Prayers for my nephew, Darren. He is fighting lung cancer, and right now is dealing with pain. So please pray.
Kathy or Robinson, thank you, our organist, asks us to pray for your nephew?
Yes.
Darren, who's battling with lung cancer right now. Jay. Right, Jay.
I want to give thanks for our having a safe trip, gone a month, traveled the Mother Road, old Route 66, over 6,000 miles we drove.
Whew.
And made it back safely. I'm thankful for that.
Wow. Jay and Bonnie, yes, went on a trip of 6,000 plus miles on Route 66, and they're still alive. They came back, and it was a good time for them, so giving thanks. Yes, Mary Ann.
Prayers for our next door neighbor, Dominic. He just had his second heart attack, and there is no surgical intervention that they can do for him because his heart is just too damaged. So he's home and on different medications, so just pray for the medications and keep his heart going like it should.
Okay. Mary Ann asks for a neighbor, Dominic, who has had a second heart attack, and there's no surgical interventions because his heart is so damaged, but he's on medication and praying that that would be a help to him. Yes, Mary Ann, Joanne. We're glad you're here. We have a number of visitors today to give thanks for. Yes, Jim.
Last week, Benny and I took a trip a little shorter than Giovanni. We drove an extra half a mile off Franklin Road and we gave that loaf of bread to Glenn Cross, who is a member here. But he appreciated it, and it was just his size, and it was lunchtime, and it was perfect timing to catch him in the kitchen. So.
Great. Jim and Betty just shared that they took their loaf of bread to a friend, and he appreciated it. Okay, let's come to the Lord in prayer. I'll pray, and I encourage you in a time of silence to either pray with us all out loud or to pray silently about your concerns, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together. Lord, hear our prayers as we come to you. Lord, we are thirsty for you, and yet we often don't realize our thirst. We think that we can do things on our own, but help us to know that you are the source of our strength. You are the only one that can do things through us that will last forever. And so we pray for your living water to flow through us. Lord, the world is in need. We pray for Sharon Zulik's family as they mourn her loss as a wife and as a mother. We pray for Darren as he struggles with his health. We give thanks for Jay and Bonnie as they come back from being away. Thank you for returning them to us. Thank you for keeping them safe. We pray for Dominic. And we pray that you not only would bring healing to his physical heart, but that you would work in his spiritual heart and give him life if he doesn't know you. But we would also pray that you would strengthen his faith if he does, with his name meaning the Lord, pointing to you. We give you thanks for all of those who reached out to others and sought to bless them this week. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we come to you now. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name, who taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is I Sing the Mighty Power of God in the red hymnal, hymn number 84.
I sing.
forth from this place and don't be afraid, because Jesus will always provide you with all the living water that you need. May the springs of God flow out from within you to be a blessing to all those around you. Go in peace. Amen.